Our journey through the book of Exodus has taken us up now to the fifth commandment. We'll spend some time thinking about that, reflecting on that this morning. Next week, we'll move on and do commandments 6 through 8, and then 9 through 10 after that. And then in August, we'll make it 20 chapters and finish up Exodus. So, you know, it took us all year to get to chapter 20, and then we're going to do the rest in a month. But, as I think through the fifth commandment this week, and as I was studying and preparing, one picture that kept popping into my mind was what I looked like in high school. Now, let me spare you, I am not going to put a picture up, okay? Yes, no. It was not a good look for me, but, you know, you can imagine me being, well, honestly, the same size as I am right now, but long hair behind or below my shoulders, and one of the shirts I always wore, my favorite shirt was, and this is what's embarrassing to think through, but was a Che Guevara shirt. If you know who that is historically, you'll know why it's embarrassing to think back that was my favorite T-shirt in high school. But I guess it was a time in my life where resisting authority was what I wanted to be known for. You know, and maybe like many teens, somehow deep down inside, feel it's their mission and essentially breaking the fifth commandment is what they're supposed to do as a teenager, deep down in their heart. We find today that God has a different design. And in fact, that he says that if you desire abundant life, that you're to honor the authority that he puts in front of you. And so we'll look at this fifth commandment today. And as you do that, I want to take note of the fact that though this will have a lot to say about parents of young kids and teens, this was a command to the entire nation of Israel. Remember the setting that we're having here in Exodus 20. This is where God calls all the people to the foot of the mountain so that they can hear from his voice these 10 words. So this is not something that is only for the young ones among us, but for all, because all of us have parents. All of us are part of this body and have spiritual parents. All of us have authority over us. And also, before we read, I just want to make one other comment, is that this message and this subject could be a difficult one for some of us. Maybe recently we've lost a parent. Maybe in the last year, maybe even more recently. Maybe some of us have had very difficult lives growing up in our homes. And maybe we're older and we've come out of that, but we still look back at one of our parents or both of our parents and say they weren't honorable. They didn't deserve respect. This may be a hard message for some of us. I would ask that you please stay with it, that you listen to the principle that God is putting out here, and maybe it's a little more complex to apply than what it is for most of us. But this is God's word to his people. So if you have your Bibles, please open to Exodus chapter 20. Just one verse this morning, but we'll also look at it in the New Testament. Exodus chapter 20, verse 12. God's word to his people, honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God has given you. And all the parents said, amen. Right. But keep your finger there. We're going to spend most of our time in Exodus, but I also just want to read this as Paul restates it in the New Testament to the church of Ephesus, chapter 6. God's word says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you, and that you may live long in the land. And fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord." Let's pray. Father, your commands are clear. And sometimes they're complex in how they are to be applied. But Lord, we pray that as we seek your word and your will this morning on honoring our father and mother and honoring authority, that you would open our hearts. Lord, especially if we are sitting here today and our hearts are hard towards our parents, are hard towards our authority, our bosses, our government, that you would shine through this morning and teach us how to apply this principle and how we can have abundant life by honoring the authority that you've placed before us. Speak to us this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Start off with a quote for you this morning. Kind of be thinking through, you know, who could this be that the pastor's quoting this morning? Quote starts off with, "Youth today." Don't you all just love that, especially you teenagers, to hear that? Anything that starts off with "youth today," that this is going to be a great one, right? "Youth today love luxury. They have bad manners, contempt for authority, no respect for older people. They talk nonsense when they should work. Young people do not stand up any longer when adults enter the room. They contradict their parents. They talk too much in company. They guzzle their food. They lay their legs on the table, and they tyrannize their elders." You think, who is that man? See, he quotes a lot of Calvin. It's probably newer than that. He quotes a lot of C.S. Lewis, maybe C.S. Lewis. Seems more contemporary than that. Who could it be? How about Socrates? 400 years before Christ. His words describe what young people were like then and are still like today. Why? Because they describe what young people are like always, right? Yet God says here, as we've read, honor your parents, honor authority, and it will go well for you. So let's look at this command this morning. Exodus chapter 31, a little bit farther than we are right now, tells us that Moses descends from Mount Sinai with two tablets of stone written by the finger of God, right? And so you can all probably bring into your mind this picture that you've seen, so many artist renditions of this, and it's like Moses coming down, and maybe there's a fire and a mountain in the back. He's got the two tablets, and it's Roman numerals or something, 1 through 5 on one, and then 6 through 10 on the other as he's coming down. That's most likely not accurate. If he came down with the two tablets, they probably were two copies of the 10. But the image of the 10 commandments split into two different, just split in half or split into two different divisions. It's kind of a helpful image for us. Because within the Ten Commandments, there's a natural transition that happens here in commandment number 5. A side note, that image of Moses with the tablets is also helpful. for showing us how hip Moses is, right? Like, he was coming down with tablets thousands of years before Steve Jobs made them cool, right? There's a transition in verse 12. Because the first four commandments are about a person's relationship to God, right? One, you shall worship Yahweh exclusively. Two, you shall worship Yahweh in the correct way. Three, you must use God's name properly. And four, you are to make the Lord's day as a special day instead of depart. These first four mandates from Yahweh govern one's personal relationship to God, his personal relationship to the one who created and redeemed us. We could say that those first four are vertical commandments because they govern our relationship, one's relationship with God. The next six, starting here in five, commands 5 through 10 are horizontal commands, right? They govern our relationships with other people, with our family, with our neighbors, with our coworkers, and with our church. This division is, of course, why Jesus says that the entire law and prophets can be summed up into two commands. To love the Lord your God, summing up the first four, and to love your neighbor as yourself, 5 through 10. So this is a structural kind of change in the commandments. And more than the structural transition, the fifth commandment is foundational. In the same way as the first commandment is foundational for the next three that come after it, we see the same thing in five. So the first one is foundational for the ones that come after it because the first commandment is you shall have no other gods. Now, if you don't have that one right, it doesn't matter if you use the God's name correctly. It doesn't matter if you're worshiping with idols. If you don't have number one right, the next three that come after it don't really matter. In the same way, the fifth commandment is set apart by God as foundational for the next five that come after it. The Bible tells us here that loving your neighbor starts in the home. To quote another old guy, Augustine emphasized the importance of the fifth commandment with this rhetorical question. He says, if anyone fails to honor his parents, is there anyone he will spare? The answer is no. Because the relationship between parent and child is the first and primary relationship. It's the beginning of all human society. Under ordinary circumstances, the first person a child knows is his parents. God intends the family to be our first hospital, our first school, the first government, our first church. And if we don't respect authority in the home, we will not respect it anywhere. Loving others and functioning in society really does begin in the home. So one of the things that we learn from this commandment is that it's not simply just speaking about a child's duty to listen and obey and honor their mom and dad's wishes. This commandment is actually shown to be a foundation piece of society. Successful, free societies are built on a strong nuclear family. I mean, we see this time and time again, several studies, social studies that you would find that look at, you know, what is the best predictor of health and personal success, and whatever that is, for healthy people, for not being in jail, for being successful or rich. As they do these studies time and time again socially, the number one predictor of health and of personal success is a stable and strong nuclear family. Now, of course, it doesn't mean that there's not exceptions to those, but it says a lot. Those studies bear out how God designed society to work. And it's also a fact shown in history on the negative side. Like if you were to study totalitarian regimes, things like Nazism or something, totalitarian regimes that have tried to gain control over people and countries, one of the primary ways that they do this, as you look through their strategy, is by breaking down the bonds of family. By attempting to replace allegiance to the family with allegiance to the state. Trying to make honoring one's country or king or Führer primary and more important than allegiance to father and mother. And so in God's great wisdom, he has designed respect for authority to start in the home. And by doing so, he has set the foundation of civilization on the family. From a young age, children are meant to learn how to honor, respect, and obey the authority that's placed over them. I mean, as children, we don't get to vote for our parents. I know this for a fact because I would have voted for a taller dad, right? Now, and my parents and your parents and us as parents are not perfect. Yet we're called to show honor, even at times in spite of their failures. One of God's first lessons to us comes as we're children. One of his first lessons to us is giving us parents and saying, obey these people I placed over you. And as you obey them, you please me. As you obey them, you will learn how to function in the world. As you obey them, you become a foundational piece of society. So this command is so much more than just doing what mom and dad say when they tell you to clean your room. It's true to say, and parents, go ahead and use this if you want, but it's true to say that in a sense, civilizations, societies and cultures all hinge on how well the next generation learns obedience in the home. And so teens, think about that the next time that mom tells you to clean your room, that civilization may actually hinge upon whether or not you do it. That might be a little bit of an overstatement, but you see where I'm going. But the truth is borne out in Scripture as well. You have passages on the positive side like Romans 13, 1 Peter 2:13 that make this connection that just as we've learned to honor our parents in the home, this translates to respecting the authority of governments and things that God has placed over us. Scripture also illustrates it in the negative. Romans 1, 18 through 32 is a section that's all about what happens when sin rules over a culture and God starts to remove his care and presence from that people. You're familiar with Romans chapter 1 probably. I'll just read the end of it as God talks about what happens to these societies as sin takes over and he removes his presence. And since they did not see fit to acknowledge God, God gave them up to a debased mind to do what ought not be done. They were filled with all manner of unrighteousness. And here comes this list, right? Evil, covetousness, malice. They were full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, maliciousness. These are some bad things, right? They're gossips, slanderers, haters of God, insolent, haughty, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents. In a sense, it seems like, well, isn't that a little out of place? I mean, right after the murderers and the insolence. Foolish, faithless, heartless, ruthless. Though they know God's righteous decree that those who practice such things deserve to die, they not only do them, but give approval to those who practice them. Same thing happens in 2 Timothy 3. There's this long list of these heinous things. And then right smack in the middle is disobedience to parents as a sign of living in the last days and when things are going to end. Why is it there? It seems out of place. Because this is a sign of complete depravity. Society falling apart because society is built on the honor that's shown first in the home. Now, all that to say, the fifth commandment is foundational, not just because it honors the Lord, which it does, and not just for strong families, which it's important for, and we want strong families, but it's foundational for civilization. I also feel it's important just quickly to note that this is an area of Scripture that is revolutionary. And I'd say revolutionary for sure for its time, but also for today. So although the Bible is often considered to be patriarchal, in other words, following the men and the fathers, and it seems to be heavy in that area, we should take note that the command here is not just to honor your father, but to honor your father and mother with equal esteem. In fact, in Leviticus 19:3, when this command is restated, it puts the mother first and the father second. It says, revere your mother and father. This was a revolutionary law because, from what we can tell, there were no other cultures around at the time that would place such a great honor on a woman, on a mother. I'd also note that this commandment is revolutionary for today, but probably for the exact opposite reason. In our current culture, it seems like fathers are the ones that lack honor and respect. The classic image of dad in America today is Homer Simpson, right? GQ even published a Homer Simpson's Guide to Fatherhood. We won't be preaching on that anytime soon. I mean, with words of wisdom like, quotes like, kids, you tried your best and failed miserably. The lesson is never try. Or, well, it's 1 a.m., I better go home and spend some quality time with the kids. Or advice for going to school, don't tattle. Always make fun of those different from you. Never say anything unless you're sure everyone feels exactly the same way as you do. Obviously, those are in jest. But it does show how fathers are looked at in our society. And it's really difficult to find a positive father role anywhere in the mainstream culture. Scripture says, honor, revere fatherhood and motherhood. But what does it mean to honor your parents? What does it mean to honor them for children, for teens? But also, what does it mean to honor our parents as adults with older parents? Remember, this command was not just given to children. It is a universal command. So what does it mean to honor the authority that's placed over you and your family, your job, your church, your government? I'll highlight three specific characteristics of honoring our parents and authority. There probably could be more, but we'll shoot for three this morning. First, reverence. The word translated honor in Exodus 20:12 is the Hebrew word kavod. And it's a heavy word. I mean, literally it is. It is the Old Testament word for heavy or weighty. It's the word the Old Testament uses to describe the glory of God as it descends. So what God is doing is reminding the people that to be a parent is a weighty thing. To be given the title of mother or father is to be designated with a title of great significance. That's why calling parents by their first names, the kids calling their parents by their first names, is considered a great insult. And it's kind of funny, I even think of all the different ways that our culture is throwing out traditional values, but that seems to be one that's actually still kind of deep ingrained. We don't let our kids call us by their first name. Because there's an honor to that title. That's an earned title. You know, I just think back as I was writing this. I mean, the first time you're so excited, especially with your first one, of when they can say mom or dad. I mean, at times when the oldest one is just staring in his crib screaming, mom, mom, mom. Maybe it doesn't feel so much like this title of great significance. It definitely feels like a title of weight. But honestly, that is a cool title. And I don't know the parent that doesn't like knowing, being called mom, being called dad. There's something deep within us that knows that that is. Well, and it's a title that's earned, you know, through sleepless nights, through worry, through discipline and sacrifice. And so God tells us that we must show respect and reverence for that weighty title. That we must esteem and value and prize our parents as gifts from God. Reverence. Second, obedience. So we show love to God by obeying his commands. If you love me, you will obey my commands. Right? In the same way, we show love and honor to our parents through our obedience to their wishes. Obedience means that we do what our parents say while we're part of their household. And then even when we've grown up and we've left home, we still make an effort to do their wishes whenever we can. It's a command that doesn't stop at 18. Now things definitely change. It'd be inappropriate for someone to call their 40-year-old daughter up and tell her exactly how she has to parent her kids or something like that. Obviously, there is some complexity to how this gets as you grow older. But in general, honoring our parents in obedience doesn't end. Reverence, obedience, and gratitude. So when we look to the scriptures, we see that one of the primary ways that God desires we show honor to him is with thankfulness. In the same way, gratitude to our parents is one of the chief ways that we can bring them honor. Of course, I didn't understand this until I was a dad, but the life of a parent is one of continual sacrifice. I mean, it's wonderful, it's great, but it's a sacrifice of time, energy, desires, sleep. Sometimes you even train for 6 months for a race, and then your kid is born the day before you plan to leave, 2.5 weeks early? You think Max will ever hear the end of that? I don't think so. Parenting is a responsibility of great sacrifice. And one of the ways that we can show honor to our parents, to those who have sacrificed for us, by simply being grateful, by saying, thanks, Mom. Thanks, Dad. I'll just give you a little side thing we talked about last week of having a Sabbath and taking an extra long time, maybe on Sundays, to do a little extra Bible reading. A great example of how honoring father and authority play out in Scripture is to actually read the second half of the book of 1 Samuel. You look at Jonathan and David and the way that they respond and react to King Saul, who by his actions didn't really deserve honor. But it's an interesting read and an interesting example. Moving on. Why should we? So, okay, Pastor, I understand what the commandment says. I understand what it means. But why should I honor my parents? If we've done each week, I think it's important to show where these commands present themselves outside of the Ten Commandments, just so that we can be assured that these principles are still important to God. We've commonly remarked that Christians are not bound to the Old Testament law in the same way that Israel was, who was getting these commands. But what God reveals here in the fifth commandment is still crucial to living a life that pleases the Lord. So why honor our parents and their authority? Again, three quick things. One, because it honors the Lord. Because it honors the Lord. Colossians 3:20. Have it up here. You can look at it in your Bibles. Children, obey your parents in everything. Sorry. Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. To obey your parents is to please the Lord. To honor their authority is to honor the authority of God. When you treat and speak about your parents, boss, teacher, police, pastor, senator, president, whatever, with respect and honor, it pleases God because you are respecting the authority that he set up. We respect our parents and the authority because by doing so, we're respecting the Lord. Secondly, because it's good for you. So when Paul restates this command in Ephesians 6, he says, this is the first command with a promise. And he makes a good point, because God could have put this as the first command with a threat. You know, obey your father and mother or else. But that's not what he does. This is the first commandment with a promise, that you will live long in the land. And this is not just talking about having a long life. It's not like God has a sticker chart on the fridge. Does anybody have like a chart on their fridge of what kids have to do for chores? Any households have that? No? Okay. That's fine. God also does not have one of those that, you know, if you obey five commands, then you get, you know, purple unicorn, and that means 2 days of extra life at the end. Right. I mean, the writers of the Bible were not foolish. They lived in a real world where people died. And it's not as if people who were really good lived to be 100 years old and everyone who was really bad died before they were 30. The promise here tied to the command is about having an abundant life. God says, if you want to enjoy the full blessings that God has for you, then listen to your mom and dad. Then respect the authority that I've placed over you. Things will go well for you for the rest of your life. And so that's why Paul says it a little differently when he restates it in Ephesians 6. Not just that it will be long, your life will be long in the land. He says that it may go well with you. He's not saying, hey, if I see 10 obedience points, you get an extra year of life. It's a recognition of the way the world works. That you will be generally much better off in life, that you will be a happier person, that you will be a safer, more secure person when you learn to honor your parents and the authority he's placed over you. Third, because Jesus preached it and lived it out as an example for us. So Jesus did not shy away from the topic of honoring parents in his ministry. He mentioned it a few different times. And even more confirming is the fact that he lived it out himself. What does Luke 2:51 say? Jesus as a child. And he went down with them. The them is his parents. His earthly parents. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was submissive to them. This is the Lord incarnate, taking a role of submission to his parents because it's the way God had designed it. And his mother treasured up all these things in her heart. Not surprising. Parents, when your kids are submissive to you, do you not treasure that up in your heart? Right? But Jesus preached it, and he lived it. Are there limits? Of course. So I don't want to spend a lot of time talking about this because most of us fall on the side of not showing enough honor to our parents, whether we're adults talking about our older parents or whether we're kids talking about our nuclear family and parents in the home. But there are some limits, of course. Authority can be abused. If you have bad parents, abusive parents, parents that are telling you to do something that clearly goes against God's commandment, obviously, God's word comes first. Obviously, honor and respect is tricky in those situations. And parents can overstep, and honor and respect is tricky in those situations. There's also an implication here in this passage, and especially we see it at the end of that Ephesians 6 verse 4. There's an implication that parents are honorable and respectable. Right? There's two sides to each of these laws. Not only are children supposed to honor their parents, the other side is parents should be teaching godly, honorable principles. Their rules in the house should be God-honoring. Their guidance should be pleasing to the Lord. There shouldn't be a conflict between what I think I must do to please God and what I'm doing to please my parents. I mean, if you want friends, you need to be friendly, right? If you want honor and respect, you should be honorable and respectable. So certainly there are limits. And certainly at times this is tricky to apply. But in general, let's focus on the other end, because most of us are failing on the showing of honor. Not that we're showing honor at times when we shouldn't. So to conclude, I just want to mention a few practical steps for application. I want to conclude this morning with application, with some practical steps that we can take to honor our parents. And again, I want to say I'm not just speaking to the kids or the teens here. Most of the adults have living parents. And even if you do not, as a church, we're a family, so that frees you up even more. That means you can sort of pick some spiritual parents and show honor to them. So every once in a while, you do get to pick your parents, I guess, right? A few, four practical steps to help live this out today, tomorrow, this week, and in the future. First of all, say yes. Say yes. Yes, Mom. Yes, Dad. Prompt, cheerful obedience is one of the best ways to honor your father and mother. Son, could you vacuum the floor real quick? Yes. You know, you don't even say yes. You know, what, I even give you, get you off easy. Just a smile and going and doing it, that's probably enough, right? Instead of that death look of how dare you ask me to do something in this house, right? Honor your parents and those in authority by saying yes when they ask you to do something. Say yes. Say thanks. Say thank you. There's not a much better feeling in the world than when someone honestly thanks you for something you've done. You know, the sacrifices that a parent makes for their children are huge. Say thank you. Adult parents, maybe those sacrifices were a long time ago, but they still happen, and maybe now is the time to take some time either today or this week to call your parents up, to write them a letter and just say, thank you. Say thank you. Say, I'll do that. I'll take care of that for you. Here's one that's a little bit more directed to the adults of aging parents. But it's our duty to take care of them. Jesus highlights this in Matthew 15. You can go back and read this on your own. But one of the things that the Pharisees were allowing in Jesus' day was for people to, instead of caring for their parents, they were allowing people to just come in and give money to the temple in their parents' name, and so that they could essentially say, hey, Mom and Dad, I can't take care of you, but don't worry, I gave some money to the church in your name. In a sense, it makes them look good, they're giving money, but also gets them out of the duty of caring for their parents. Jesus says that's breaking the fifth commandment. That part of our responsibilities as children, as Christian children, is making sure that we honor our parents by taking care of them as they get older. Say, I'll do that. And say hello. Just call your parents up. Block off a little time. A lot of time. To call and listen. To talk. To show that you care. And I'd even say, especially to some of the younger generation about this, respond to messages. If someone older than you or in authority sends you a text, calls you and leaves you a voicemail, whatever it is. Part of showing honor is responding. Say yes. Say thanks. Say, I'll take care of that. Say hello. Is there more things we could talk about? Certainly. It's a good start. Leviticus 19:3, every one of you shall revere his mother and his father, and you shall keep my Sabbath. I am the Lord your God. So worship team comes up. Let's pray.